message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Now, generally, CV, there is no particular format or that we would say this is how a CV should look. It is not stated anywhere. It is not drawn up anywhere. Even on Google, you cannot just say, I want to see the best CV. You will probably see different type of CVs and different formats and designs. But then, there are some things that are important to be included in your CV and some things that are not necessary. Now, when we say not necessary, it does not mean that they are totally wrong, but it means that sometimes it could be a burden if we have that. Considering the fact that when people are checking through CVs, they are looking through a lot of CVs, a lot. I don't want to describe how our CV room in my office looks like. And you could imagine what we go through trying to sort depending on the qualification or the vacancy that we have to fill. So having it precise, like it will be easier to just pick up a CV, you should be able to quickly see this person's qualification and experiences and age, or at least, and then you'll be able to get straight to the point, okay, we might need this person. Because when you get to a CV room, you first of all have to sort as per qualification. You could have 100 of them. And then you now have to sit down again and do another sorting. It is at that point that we might now start taking time to look at some things. It could even be just more spelling mistake, and because we are tired, we're already pissed off. Or because we have a very high standard for who we are looking for. Something as simple as, you know, some errors are just not permitted. And that is the reason why we are trying to have this discussion today, so that we'll all be informed and we'll be aware of what should be in our CVs or what the CV should look like. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, so I'll start by looking at what is a CV. You know, majorly we just look at it like it's a document, okay, that contains all our information that would give an employer or an organization an idea of what it is or what this person has or who this person is. So, CV, if I would give it a very short definition, is a document that shows or gives precise information about you and lets the organization know that you are worth spending their time and their money on. Now, time is, at the point they call you for an interview, they've already started a process, and that takes time. Some people will be asked to take about 1 hour off their duty time for the day to be on the panel. So we've started spending time. And if you're eventually taken or hired, it means that we'll start to spend money. Some interview process is costly as well, because sometimes they bring up some professionals that we will pay. Sometimes we accommodate some people. If there are some organizations that maybe they are bringing you from a far distance, you're coming in from Lagos, they'll put you in an hotel, sleep overnight before you go, depending on when we finish the interview. So for an organization to say, okay, let's bring this person in, your CV to an extent must show us that even if we are paying you transport and paying your accommodation allowances, it will not be a waste of money and of time. And then we can also say CV is something that brings out our unique selling proposition. Now, what we call unique selling proposition is there has to be something important, something very significant about you that we might not find in other CVs. And then, it doesn't really have to be about how your CV was designed or detailed. It could be your qualification and some things that you have. So now, it is important as well that you have something unique. You have the qualifications to put on that CV in the first place. Like now, if they throw a unique selling proposition of maybe, let's say, a model, the person has to be tall, slim, flat tummy. For some people, they bother about the complexion. They bother about the education as well, because maybe to an extent, the person may have to be a brand ambassador for that organization. So it really goes a long way on what you have that will be on your CV. And then we're now going to look at, there are some things that we call like elements of a CV. It could be for some people, or sometimes we explain it as sections in CV, how to start, the things that should be. We first of all start with the personal details. And you know, for personal details, we have the name, the address, the phone number, the email, sometimes the state of origin. And then the gender, you could put if you're a male or a female, because I can actually remember one time I had to call somebody, not because I was calling the person for an interview yet, but I wanted to be sure if the person was a male or female. It was not stated there, and the names that the person had did not help me. So I couldn't, and I didn't want to assume. Because for instance, if you are seeing Oluwatosin Fashoyin, Oluwatosin can be a guy. Except if you are seeing all of my names as Oluwatosin Shalom Fashoyin, then you can say, okay, this is a lady. And then sometimes vacancies are also filled based on gender. We want a male for this vacancy, we want a female. So we don't just call up people and then we now say, oh, sorry, we didn't know you're a female, oh, we are looking for a male. Oh, sorry, oh, you're a man, ah, no, we don't want a man. No. So that is the reason why we go through CVs as well, and that is the reason why your CVs have to be very detailed so that we get straight to the point. And then we have a personal statement. It's not compulsory to have a personal statement, but I've realized that we find it in most CVs. I have in mine as well. So somehow, it's acceptable. But we try to make it as very short as possible. It's advised that it shouldn't be more than a paragraph. Now, a personal statement is just very brief, something about you. It could be that, for instance, let's take mine. I'm a graduate of mass communication. I have over 10 years experience in human resources. I've also worked in customer service. I've done this, I have done that. Very straight to the point. Because sometimes we do not have the time to go through the details in the CV. Some people, that is all they read. And they'll be like, let's see this, or let's consider this person. So personal statement is okay, but it's advisable that we shouldn't keep doing it. It should be very precise, straight to the point, and short. A paragraph is okay. A paragraph. Maximum of 4 lines is what I'm trying to say, please. Maximum of 4 lines. So that is not... In fact, some of the information I'm discussing, I got them on Google because, of course, I needed to articulate my point and put them. So even when you go on Google, you will see. And somewhere in an article that I read, he also said that sometimes they consider personal statements as something to just fill up space for those people that really do not have much. So in as much as we are saying it's important, we are not saying it's not important or it's not necessary. It is not really something that you should spend like 3 paragraphs presenting in your CV. 4 lines, a paragraph, very short, straight to the point. It's okay and recommended. And then we're looking at now I'm trying to take it how the CV is. So let's imagine that we have a CV, a copy of a CV now. You know, normally you should see the personal details first. The name, the person's name, the address, phone number, and all of that, like I mentioned initially. Then the next section should be a personal statement. Some people call it career statement. Whatever it is, you just do it shortly, and then we go to your academic educational qualifications. Now, when we get to educational qualifications, please let's remember, it is very important that our educational qualifications are stated and written from the latest, from the latest. Please let's not start from primary school. Let's start from PhD. Let's start from master's. Let's start from our professional qualifications, if that was the latest qualification that we've gotten. And then we now consistently and carefully bring down the dates. Now, in this session is where we have issues with most people during interviews. Some people are very smart enough to put all sorts of qualifications in their CVs. Trust me, it happens. Things that they do not even have the certificate to defend. Things that even if you do not have the certificate, intellectually they cannot even defend it. Because you know sometimes it's possible, like now it's not like I'm a motivational speaker or like I'm a presenter or something. But if I say, okay, I enjoy talking and I'm good at talking, and somebody says, good, this is a topic. Let's imagine you want to do a presentation. Because trust me, I've done interviews that I had to do presentations before. And then me that I said I like talking, I'm like, And we are like, okay, can we not do this? So please, let's be very, very honest. I've seen CVs that, in fact, sometimes we do not have the patience to even be nice to this person. We just walk them out because it is annoying. Because see, the people that you'll be meeting at interviews, let's forget the fact that they've been in the organization for a very long time, or that they are experienced or they are smarter than you. You know, when you have been doing something consistently, you begin to understand the intricacy of it. The more you sit down with somebody today, you interview like 3, 4, 5 persons, you begin to understand what people like. So tomorrow when I'm in an interview, I'm ready to catch a liar. And I'm all out fishing you. That is how it is. And then with time, we become an expert in it and all of that. So it's not like it's something that we learned or that we got to just come about. Now, for instance, you have stated that you were giving birth in 1990. Everybody knows that you have to be about 4 or 5 years before you start nursery school. And that is when you now begin to start. And then you are now getting to your educational qualification. And you are finishing SSC at 2000. You will now begin to wonder, Uncle, how old are you again? Yes. But you know, it's funny how you see CVs and people have forgotten that when they get to educational qualification. They've forgotten what they wrote in their age. They've forgotten their age. People have even forgotten their educational qualification, which is true, but they got to their age and decided that they will be 25 when they are already 35. So, we have to be careful. And then some people come up with, it's a mistake. It's okay, mistakes happen, and that is the reason why we say you sit down and look at your CV. Don't bring things that you cannot defend. In fact, sometimes whoever is referring you gets angry. So some of these CVs, we get it by referrer, and we write the person's name. So that in case we are trying, we will remember, okay, okay, remember you gave me a candidate. I have called this person for an interview. Just let the person be ready. And then you can imagine when you now say, okay, that your candidate. Okay, I want more 1984. You know, you're not like, so please, you don't want to disgrace yourself and you do not want to rubbish whoever has referred you. Because CVs, we give it to people. People see me every day, they give me CVs, I drop it. So I would not like to see you come to an interview and I'm like, oh, this is the person I helped. And we start looking and it's like, no. So please, that is why educational qualification, this is where the date really begins to start. And we have to be careful with the calculation. If we are very, very careful and honest, let's check our dates and be sure that we actually, some people, their primary education, they didn't even do 6 years or they didn't do 4 years. Because by the time you look at when they start and when they claim that they finished, you'll be wondering, when did you start? How did you start? So please, let's be careful. So that even if we are not lying, we do not come out like a liar. Let's have the dates. And then, like I stated, let it be from the recent, the most recent qualification that we've had. And this is how it should be. For instance, you can say 2018. Like now, it should start with the date. 2018, MSc Mass Communication. Okay, no. 2018, University of Ilorin, MSc Mass Communication. At the date, the institution, qualification, and sometimes the grade, if it's the one that has grade. Let's say it's a BSc. You can say 2001-2005. You've told us you started in 2001, you concluded in 2005. Then what should be the next? Maybe after you give like two or three taps, we are still going to show you an example of a CV later. You write the name of the institution, because no matter the qualification, no matter your certificate, you got it from somewhere. You write that, you put whatever you earned, like BSc Mass Communication, you can now put in bracket, second class upper, second class lower, third class. Be very, very honest, even if it's a third class. Because what some people don't know is even if you had a third class, and we can see that the next qualification is a PGD. You know, we know that, okay, this person already knows he has a birth certificate, a badge certificate, I cannot get him or her a job. And then he has taken it a step forward to correct that, that he can be employable. It would be funny if you have a third class and you have not done anything after that, and you expect that you will get a job. No, you will not. No, you will not. It is not about discrimination. No, you will not. So if you've had a third class, the next thing is to go for a PGD. That is compulsory for people with third class. Even if you do a master's and you do not get up or to, there's something they call the postgraduate point or something. If you do not have up to that and you want to have a PhD, the next thing to do is a PGD, despite the master's. So please, let's get it right and let's do that. So even if we see a third class and then we now see a PGD, in fact, some people have even taken it, but after that, you will see masters. They have rectified whatever issues you might have with a third class. So please, let's know that as well. So whatever your grade is, please state it there correctly. Because the truth is, some organizations spend a lot of money in doing something we call reference check. We do. Reference check. It's a lot of money. We are going to send a copy of all your certificates to every institution you have attended, according to your CV. Yes. And if, for instance, imagine that your certificate, you lied, maybe it's a forged certificate, and then we send it to them, and they are like, in fact, some will come, they do not know this person. Then some response will come, yes, this person graduated, but with a third class. All of that. Yes, some people spend, it's a lot of money. Some organizations do it. And it's just the same way that when you eventually get a job in an organization, do not misbehave. Because you think tomorrow you will go to another organization and you are done. No, a reference check will still come back to that organization. So as young as we are about to get a job, we are hoping to get a job. Let's know what to do right from day one. Because you hope to go higher. Okay, let's say it's even in that organization. You have to be on your A game and in your best behavior to keep rising. And then let's imagine that, okay, you got another offer. 3 steps higher, you move to another organization. And you did not do some things right. You might just not get that positive response. And you know, these reference checks, they are so important because it will determine even your confirmation. It will determine your stay in organizations. Because you could have had the offer letter, yes, but I know you are aware offer letters have confirmation period. They say you are on probation for 6 months, you're on probation for 3 months. Those months, the organization is working on whatever qualifications you've given and the experiences you've stated, and we are checking back with those organizations because we do not want to make a recruitment error. So we want to know from them, what do you think about this person? And their opinion matters. So please, let's be honest so that we do not get... We've had people come to interview and they will tell you, I had issues in my previous organization. I'll be like, tell us what it is. It is better to be honest, state it, this was what happened, this was how I got involved, this was how I didn't, it was just something, and all. We have legal departments, they can check. But some people will tell you they still have the issue in court. That is honesty. And we will check with it, how bad is it and all. Because the truth is, you're lucky some organizations don't totally rule you out. Because you've had issues in a previous place. We look at what the issue is, and if it's something we can tolerate. And yes, they make you write a statement that something like that will not happen in this organization. But you come in and lying that, nothing, I just left, I resigned. And then we send a reference check, and we are getting something else. At that point, you will not have the opportunity for an explanation that you should have given at the point where you were under no pressure or you had nothing at stake. Because if you've not gotten a job, you have nothing at stake. You will just say the truth and hope that you are the one that will be chosen. But do not lie. And it's the same way with this education. This is where I want to talk a lot. Because this is where people are held, like, you know when they say you have been caught red-handed. They will catch you like this and you will not be able to say anything. And at that point, trust me, whether you believe it or not, you are destabilized. You are destabilized. Even when they say, okay, don't worry, let's go on. You will not be able to say anything else again. Even if they're asking you a question that you know the answer. So at that point, you know you have failed. So please, with our qualifications, the primary school, the nursery school, the secondary school, university, everything. And please, let's tag or label and explain education qualifications correctly. Like, for instance, you know MSc, there is in view. Please put it in view. Don't let it be when they're asking you, where is the MSc certificate? And I say, I'm still on it. No. Get it clearly in view. Or maybe you've eventually finished. Like, now I've finished my MSc, but I've not gotten my certificate. So even if you have an updated CV of mine, you will still see in view. But if we are in the interview, I will let you know I am done with it. I am just waiting for the convocation and then to get my certificate. But I will not put MSc, mass comm, and come and start and last. I've done it, and I even passed. Something's mouth does not explain it. The certificate, especially in interviews. It is when word of mouth counts is when you now have to defend that certificate. But please, let's not say what is not. And then after educational qualifications, we will be open to see work experiences. Now, this work experience as well, just like the educational qualification, we should start from the most recent. Let's not start from our experience from IT. I've seen people write IT as part of work experiences and all. Though it's okay for people that are fresh graduates, because we know that for fresh graduates, there isn't really nothing much to put in the CV. And yes, experiences from IT and NYSC will go a long way in helping us know at least this person has done something in a former organization and this person has worked in a way. So yes, so for some of us that have other experiences, let's start from IT if we want to, then we go to NYSC, then we go to the other workplace and we get to the most recent where we are presently. Now, the reason why that is, the most times, you know, TVs, we are looking from top down. Now, somebody or some other people on the panel might just check only your recent, your first line of your work, and they're like, okay, are you working presently? And then please, when we, in all of these days, let's be updated. Let our CVs be updated. Please, let it be updated. In fact, if you have a feeling that the CV that the organization have is an old one, As you're stepping into the interview room, please tell them, I have an updated CV already. And then you could present it. The reason is that, you know, sometimes then we can ask a question. So since 2002, you've not done anything. And you're like, oh, I've been working. Your CV is not saying that. Then you now have to start saying, oh, I worked there. I've worked there and I'm presently working. Or sometimes it's still your previous place of work. It's showing 2016 till date. And you probably left the place 2017 and you've joined another organization 2017 to 2019. And they're like, oh, 4 years in. And you're like, no, I just stayed 2 years there. So please, it's okay for you to walk into an interview as long as you know that you're an experienced person. And you're like, please, I would like to submit an updated CV. Just in case the one you have is an old one. It is small, so that at least they will collect it from you. Say, you know, we drop CVs around a lot, but this is an updated one. So please, let's do that. So that we don't get to start. Because sometimes, you know, mood also affects how you will be asked questions from the panel. And some of them are so tired, they've seen like a lot of people. And then everything they're asking, you're like, no, that's been since 4 years ago. They don't be like, please, when did you submit this CV? I bet some of us, our CVs are not even updated. Because mine was not updated until January. Somebody asked me for my CV and then I was like, okay. In fact, I had sent it, then she sent it back to me. So just for you to know that we all make mistakes. She said, madam, I know this is not where you work presently. So what is going on? This is your CV. It's not saying anything. And I'm like, sorry. And I updated. But you could imagine if I had walked into the interview room and they have to ask me that question. Even if I'm going to get my composure back after a while, I'm going to be like, sorry, that's not. And then, you know, for somebody like us that they will even think, oh, you're supposed to be a professional. And maybe they want to interview me as an HR. And they're like, Madam HR. And your CV is very updated. You know? So that's why you don't want to be caught from things. Let our CVs be as updated as we can. And then this work experience now. When we are stating our work experience, here we write some other information. Like for instance, you could say customer service. Maybe, of course, we'll start with the date, the organization, MTN call center, or CNSSL. If he has a name, maybe it's a subsidized contractor or something. You write it. You write what you did, customer service agent. And then you now have to now state what you did. It is important that you state. And then here, we recommend that you do it in bullet points at that point. Just state like, now, for a customer care agent, you'll be like, attending to customer grievances, resolution of this, like that, short, under each work. Like now, for instance, let's say my updated CV now should read, maybe human resource officer, CAM industry, the year, of course, the years I've stayed, when I joined, if it's still present, I put you present, my position, and then I write a few things of what I do there in bullet points. And you see, in CVs, we try to say, don't personalize. If I'm saying in bullet points, it doesn't mean you not say, I do this. Leave I do all this, and like that. So it should be maybe the first point, attending to staff grievances, another point, recruitment and selection, another point, confirmation and deferment, another point, welfare issues and challenges, another point, payroll, it's like that. Maximum, let's say like 5 points. We are not saying you should list everything that you do there. But something that when people are looking at it, they have an idea of what this person does, of what your duties and responsibilities are in that organization. That is what it means. And now if there are some places that maybe you probably have performed some major roles there, you could also state if there was a major project or, you know, some things they call it major achievements. Maybe there was something that you, when you got there, the organization was able to achieve, like in your department. Maybe you started, let's say for instance, like in HR now, you have some software for payroll. And maybe it was at the point you got to the organization that they started making use of the payroll. And you were part of the team that implemented it and saw it successfully deployed. You could state that and state your role in that. Because the truth is, it is an achievement. Okay, I know this, and this was done during that time. And then when we now leave the work experiences, I think the next thing will be like our reference. Now, reference is not compulsory, although it is allowed as well. Maximum of 3, please. Maximum of 3 for references. Unless otherwise stated in maybe the vacancy or the publication that you saw for the job like maybe if they say give, provide 4, provide 5, or maximum 3. At best, 2. 2 good, reasonable people that know you. See, the reason why I'm saying good, reasonable people is some people just put their friends that are not reasonable. I'm sorry to say. Because there is a lot more to you using somebody as a referee in your CV. It is not just about is my uncle or is my friend. This person has to be ready to attend to calls from wherever organization might be needing his attention or her attention. Sometimes they need to provide some information about themselves, and they must be responsible enough to do that for you. Most importantly, they must be ready to do that. Because we've had issues of us sending reference form to referees, and for months we are not getting any response. And it's delaying that person's employment status with us. And then we have to now call the candidates, like, check with your referee. And then don't let's pick referees out of, is my lecturer. This lecturer doesn't know you. Do you have a one-on-one relationship with this lecturer? Because you don't want this lecturer to receive a letter and the person is wondering, who is Oluwatosin Fashei? I don't know this name. And then please, when you put referees, you put their names, their details, and then their phone numbers. Correct phone numbers. Because sometimes we keep calling and calling and calling these people, and then there won't be any response. And by the time we check back with the candidate, the person will be like, oh, he has changed his number. So please. And then another thing that I would like to state in referees is, please let them know that you are using them as a referee. I personally might be angry if somebody just calls me up and you did not inform me before that I am stated as a referee on your CV. Please, it is very important that people that you are putting on your CV as your referees are aware that you are using them. So that by the time you call them and they get a call or they want to know any information about them, they will not feel offended. They will not feel like, who is this person asking me all these plenty questions? And then they will not take like 5 minutes trying to think about, who is Oluwatosin Fashei? Because sometimes I have to ask, is it that you don't know this person, sir? Maybe it's a mistake. I'm sorry. So please, let's use people that know us. People that by the time they mention our names to them, they'll be like, okay, good, I know this person. Let's use them. Let's have their details. And let's inform them as well. Some people for our organizations, depending on the level on which you'll be employed as, like whatever level you'll be putting, or we'll be putting you mid-level managers, like that and all, we need some referees to show. Like, we need to see them physically. We need to see them one-on-one. And then depending on the departments you'll be working in, some departments are very high risk, where we want to know, who are your referees? Are they willing to stand in case you commit anything? So we need to see some of them. So you have to be sure that your referees are people that are ready or will be available. And it's okay to change your referees part time, depending on where you are applying to or what job you are applying for. Put people that can at least answer for you in place like that. Okay, sorry, after work experiences, I skills, hobbies, and interests. Yes, sometimes we can include that as well, but it is not compulsory. So if your CV does not have skills or does not have hobbies and interests, because hobbies and interests, we all just write same thing for some people. Even people that can't play football. It's football, tennis, singing, dancing. And you know, sometimes interview sessions get very interesting depending on the mood that you meet this panel sometimes. You say you can sing. Ah. Then you meet somebody like my manager, be like, ah. Good morning, Celine. Do you want to go to the hospital? You are or they say, do you have any best song? Please sing. Or you like football? How well? Do you just like playing it or you are current? And then you don't know where the person is driving at, but because you want to show, you say, ah, you are current. You are current, oh yeah. Yeah, your team. And then you start. Now, it might be a very relaxed thing to do sometimes, but sometimes we might also be judging how honest you are. Because something you know nothing about, please don't say you do. Something that you do not enjoy doing, do not say you do. Because sometimes we pick or we employ people based on interests and hobbies, especially for contract staff. Because, you know, For us, where I presently work, we have accommodations and all of that. And then we have stewards, we have cooks and all in that. And then maybe we are looking at you to be like the accommodation supervisor. And you say you enjoy cleaning, you enjoy cooking. And then you say, okay, this is what we think you will be doing for us. And you're like, ah, no, not like that. So please, whatever it is that we enjoy, or you say you enjoy playing football. In my organization as well, we have a football team. And they do tournaments, serious ones. And then they start to pick players. We now hear in HR that they are picking from so-so-so departments, no volunteer. We'll help them with your CV. This is the time. So please, let's be very, very honest in what we put as our hobbies and interests. And then for skills, you know, skills can be a little professional and or more advanced than hobbies and interests. Because skills could be that, aside the fact that you read chemistry, you have a knack for computer, you have a lot of interest in technology, or you are advanced in making use of Excel. You know, Excel is one very, very, very technical application on computer. It amazes me how people come and they say they are computer literate. And they say, how good are you in Excel? I say, very good. And they say, rate yourself. You say, 50%. Wow, 50% in Excel. You must know a lot. And then these same people, you give them a system. Please type something for me. This is Excel. They cannot even find Excel. Talk more of starting to type. Yes. The last interview we had, this is not a joke, it's serious. The last interview we had, they were computer science graduates because we just needed somebody in our, some people in our data department. And then we got all the computer science CVs and then we called them. Now, she came, not just a lot of people, trust me. We saw more than 10, it was only one good person we found. And see, we are not judging them based on how well they could even use the application, but we just wanted to know, do you even know how to operate a computer? Now, this is my laptop that is already powered on, and somebody is still trying to power on, and I'm like, it's powered on. Initially, I thought it had gone blank. You know, sometimes when you leave a system untouched, it will hibernate. So I tried, I helped her, I touched, and I was even joking with her, maybe you are used to a computer. This is a laptop. You could just touch the stuff, it will come. And then it came on. And you know, I have documents that I've worked on. When you save some things on the desktop, they are there. You can see PowerPoint, you can see Excel, you can see. And I'm like, open an Excel page and I will be saying some things for you. I wanted her to create a column and write some things in details. No, it was serious. I started looking for Excel. My manager had to say, Excel. Or is there a man son go? Me like Excel. On Excel, man jingle. Now, I'm sure she knows. She didn't know. And you know, it was one funny interview day. Because she kept saying, Excel. I know Excel. In fact, at a point we allow that. Please, let's just joke. Okay? So Yoruba auntie, she am Excel ye. Ni Excel. Woman, she auditor of our company income. I say, I can low system. And she said no. And she does it on card. Now, my question is, she's just 25. In this present age and time, where children will take your phone, navigate to where their games are, and play it seamlessly. In fact, my son will play game on my phone to the extent that when calls are coming, I can't pass okay. Calling Amadun game are continuing. This is where people have advanced technologically. And then you read computer science. Not that you said you have an experience. You read computer science. And you cannot get these things. So please, let's just be sure of what we are doing. Let's know what we are doing. Now, when we even say CV, now this is details and everything that should be in the CV. Let's talk about qualification and your educational status. Did you study chemistry in BSc? And the qualification, the professional qualification you have is NIM, Institute of Marketing. Please, no. Do you know why I used NIM? Because I remember when I was serving, NIM was kind of a compulsory qualification to write as a copper. But I didn't. Not because I was focused then, no. But because I served in a place that was highly professional. I served in Guardian newspaper because I read mass communication. I was a journalist. Now, before I went for service, I was already working with them as by a freelancer. Because I did my IT there, and then somehow, aside the fact that you know people, you must at least have shown that you are worth calling back as well. So after school, my school had a delay of a year before NYSC. So instead of wasting it, I was working there as a journalist. So when I got to NYSC, I knew, I had already begged that they should please come and request for me. So I was not ready to waste my time writing Institute of Marketing Qualification, Kojo. Because at that point, I knew what I wanted to be. Trust me, after 2007, I wanted to be a journalist, a serious one. But then, by the time I worked there for a while, I saw some things, went on some assignments, checked the timing and all. And of course, it was not going down with my military boyfriend. So, I knew I was not going to continue this job for long. And then I had to refocus. I started applying in other organizations. And my first job, after I left that journalism job, was a customer care agent, or you say front desk officer, in a law firm. It was for 40,000 naira. How many of you will take a 25,000 naira job in a law firm? Now? No. And you do not have any work experience here too. Will you take it? No. Good. That is another issue that we will eventually get to. I took that job in Lagos, 40,000 naira. I was even in Festac. I was working in Ikoyi. Yes. By the time it's month end, my uncle that was living with, of blessed memory now, he has 20,000 naira in an envelope that he gives to me every month because mawaya, every month. Because of course my 40,000 naira will not take me my transport, my feeding, buying some few things sometimes. So I will need that extra. So it was there for me to pick up on his desk at a particular time of the month that we have both agreed. In fact, everybody knows in the house that it's Tosin's money one, you know, because I would need it. But do you know what I'm trying to say? I did not let 40,000 naira stop me from taking that job. Because one thing I learned while working in The Guardian is you need a job in hand to get a better one. You cannot sit at home and hope that one day you will get that job that will suddenly pay you 6 digits. You need to be working. In fact, when you are in an interview and you are working presently, you stand a better chance than somebody that has not done anything in a long time. And then from there, less than 4 months, I got another one, customer service, in a mortgage house, more like bank, and then my salary went to 70,000 naira. And then it was good. And that was where I decided that now I needed to be focused. Is it that I want to continue as a professional in customer service? Because these are seems to be like, okay, what I'm doing. Or I just need to know what I will do. Because obviously I've left communication for a while. Although communication is getting me the job. Because, you know, mass communication is under social sciences. And that is what you consider when you're looking at administrative, HR people, and secretaries, and all of that. So luckily for me, this particular organization, customer service was under human resource. So I was doing a little of customer service, and I was working with the human resource office. I did not mind that I was in front desk. I was also in front desk in that place. I did not mind that I was in front desk, and I was working with HR. I worked even more than those people that were in HR. And then I would help them sort CVs and look through files. And that was where I started looking at qualifications and how to be focused. How you can pick a CV and tell this person knows what he's doing. From your BSc to your other qualification to your MSc or whatever, we can tell. Does this person know what he or she is looking for? And that was how I got to know about Unilag has a diploma in human resource, this, and this. And then I took that course. It was while I was doing my diploma in the process of relating with people that I also got to know that there is a chartered institute for human resource people. Just like you say, you're an accountant and you have not even started with ACCA. You are not chartered. You have not even started. And you have been an accountant for like 10 years. Where do you really want to get to? Because trust me, a young person that is chartered, we get almost times two of your pay if you are not careful in the same organization, if they employ such a person. It is not a joke. Qualifications will take you far. I see it happening every now and then. I see people my age, because they are chartered, they get what they want. In fact, you see some very young people, ICAN, ACCA, like done, dusted. So when such persons come to an interview and he's saying, this is how much I will take, you know better not to argue. Because do you want to offer a chartered accountant 50,000 naira? No. So please, qualification matters. Don't study biology and you are already writing NIM or you are going to write CIPM. No. Except if you want to change your field and then you know which line, you have already set out a goal on how you follow through with it. Like for instance, maybe you are an engineer and you are not even registered with the Society of Engineers yet. What are you waiting for? Sometimes it's just about registration. Sometimes you might have to write a few exams there and there. Sometimes you might have to attend seminars and all. You know, when you are qualified, seminars, talk and all of this, they earn you points. Because if you are qualified, like for instance, this Chartered Institute, you start from student membership. That is the first. Once you register, you're a student member. And then you could also write that. You can say you're a student member, CIPM. It's allowed. It's acceptable. Because the truth is, you paid a lot of money to even get into that in the first place. And then you begin to write the exams. There are steps, like about 4 stages, different year. When you are done, you become an associate. Now, from associate to fellow, you will not write exam for that. It is your job experiences, seminars you have attended, workshops that you have sat in, master classes that you have participated in and contributed meaningfully. They begin to earn you points. So that at a particular point, in fact, you will get like a message. They will be the one to inform you. You have spent so years. Now you are qualified to be on this level. So you apply and you have an oral chat. So when you see they introduce people, this person is this, and we are like, wow. That person paid a lot. That person has put in a lot of time, a lot of reading, a lot of commitment, a lot of focus to get to that point. So now, in as much as we are saying, you know, this is CV clinic, CV will not get you the job, yes, but it will help you stand a chance of getting that job before you can ever be called for an interview or to even be seen at all. Your CV will be the reason why, okay, we are going to look at this person or we are going to see this person. Now for CVs, aside all of these that are stated, there are still some things to note. You know, we look at font size. I've seen CVs and I have seen CVs. Some CVs is like the person is just learning design and I've decided that this CV, they will know that I can design. The font size will not be considered. Okay, let's not even talk about font size. Because, of course, you know, when you are talking about these sections like personal details and all, those ones, the sizes will even be more than what you'll be writing under them. So let's not say font size yet. But font has to be consistent. It has to be the same. If you want to design your CV using Times New Roman, please let it be Times New Roman. Don't do your first session Times New Roman, you get another one, Ari, you get a Calibari, you do. Please, it distracts and sometimes it's annoying. You'll be like, this person thinks it's a joke. So please, the font size, the recommended font size, which I prefer, and I've also checked on Google, they are more like the acceptable ones, Times New Roman and Arial. They are easy to read, very clear. An N will not look like a Y. Because, you know, we have fonts like that. Where N will look like Y and all of that. These ones are clear. You could read them and it's very, very okay. And then please, for colors, let's play with colors. Don't. If you are using a white paper, your best with color is black. Please, don't paint personal details blue. You go to personal statement, green. Education, red. Work experience, purple. Trust me, I have seen. And some people will even go as far as printing it in color so that you can see. Because, you know, when you do color sometimes and you print on black and white, it won't really show. It will just get dark and all. But don't put colors, please. The only places, the only one you can put color most times is for email. Because emails are usually written very small. In fact, for emails, when you get to where you want to write your email, you will not leave it at the same point size with others. If the general one is 12, you put your email like 10. It will be small, then a little light blue. It's okay. Now, the reason why it's that, it makes it very conspicuous. And then you could see what you are looking for. And then if you are lucky that you are sending to someone, like the soft copy, the moment you click on that email, you know, it could take me to Yahoo. and send you. That's the reason why it's uncolored and it's a little underlined. It's like a link to internet if you're sent your soft copy to someone. So please, don't jazz it up. Let's not jazz our CV up, please. Some people get annoyed once they see CVs like that because it does not show that you are serious. It does not show that you understand that from the point of you dropping your CV means that you mean serious business. And whoever should look at it with business, like seriousness. Like, I want to see what this person has. And then also, for the font size, 12 is okay. 12. Aside from maybe all these personal details and all that, you might put on 13, 14. But not more than, so that it doesn't become too large, too big, scary. I've seen scary CVs. Yes, I have seen scary CVs. And then there are some CVs that we find them with passports, with pictures. I don't understand the idea behind it. Please, let's not put our passports on our CVs, except otherwise stated. Because I've seen applications where they would state, in fact, you would have to reconstruct your CV based on their requirements. They would have told you what they want. So if it's otherwise stated, and in fact, especially if you are applying for an international job, you will need to put your nationality, you will need to put languages spoken, you will need to put countries you visited, you will need to state if you have an international passport or not, you will need to state a lot of things. So yes, you would, some jobs, even in Nigeria, you will need to state if you can drive or not, and even put your driver's license number. We do that for our drivers. I know Nigerian Bureau does that for all the sales rep because they drive themselves, so you know. So, except otherwise stated. And now, this is the point where I would like to state again. Like I said, CVs, there is no particular order or this is how it should be. Your CV should be prepared based on what you want it to do or based on the reason why you are preparing it. Now, let's go back to when I talked about qualification. Maybe you read biology, you have NIM, good. Or you have NIPRL, good. But of course, for somebody that is focused, you probably have a reason for having those qualifications. Now, when you now have a job vacancy that needs a public relations officer, of course, you have Institute for Public Relations certificate. That will work for you. And that is what you will categorize on. Like, you capitalize on that. On that particular certificate, and then you drill it down what you know or what your experiences are or what your experiences, qualifications are in that regard. Now, let me give you a good example. Someone that I work with, my colleague, he read estate management, HND. I think he read computer sciences, OND or something. Then, in short, from his CV, he has done quite a lot of things. But if you sit down to look at it, he has made himself an expert in like three fields, and it has worked for him. When he read estate management, he had done something on surveying and all. I don't know what their institute is. He has gotten that certificate. And before he started working where he is now, he had worked with a construction company for like 5 years, where he rose to be the site supervisor and all. You know what got him that job and what kept him that long? He read those things and that qualification that he supported him with. When he decided he was going to come into human resource, he had done something in public admin and had gotten qualifications as well as a chartered person in human resource. So now, but you know what he does? You will never know he has all those qualifications except you know him. Because he designs his CV according to what job is applying for part-time. He does not put all his qualifications on a CV because professionally he knows that that will disqualify him. Even if we think, oh, you have tried, you did this, you got qualified, you did this, you got qualified. Somebody else can ask you, what are you thinking? Like, you should be focused. Everybody should be. And your CV should show that. So when he wants to apply for something, you will find him always having to go back to put his qualifications to fit, to suit that vacancy before he applies for it. And that is what we are also going to talk about when we look at skills. Now, some skills that you have may not be necessary for the job that you are applying for. So do not just put everything on your CV. Put it as it is required. There is something I learned recently. They call it learning the lingo. Now, learning the lingo means that when you want to apply for a job, They say, come and apply for human resource officer. Yes, you already know what that is and you have the qualification for it. But now, and of course, maybe you know the terminologies for it as well. You've read something so that when they say, what is this? You know, you have an idea. But have you also learned the required attitude, the required features of somebody that wants to be a human resource officer? So when you're applying for a job, learn all of that as well. So that when they ask you, aside from the fact that you know the job or you know what this person will, what are the qualifications, what are the attitudes, aside from certificates, what are the things that you think this person needs to have? For instance, if you're a human resource person, you have to be very tolerant. Very, very, very tolerant. In fact, when I say tolerance, you need a lot of tolerance, you need a lot of God, and you need a lot of reminders on everything that you have been taught in your church, not to beat some people up sometimes. Like I usually joke, when people come to my office and they misbehave, I will tell you, do you know why you are still standing there? I am a broken woman. Go and ask me in my church. They will tell you what broken is. When you are broken, you just let people, you smile. If not, some people, in fact, and that is people, and you have a lot of that in your workplace. So now, you now say you are an human resource person, they say, what are the features that you think this person should have, and you do not know. You need a lot of tolerance, and you need to be very accommodating, because whatever it is, and that is, the same thing goes for every other job. There are features and other qualities that you should look out for. Like for instance, if you are an accountant, you might be good in math, all those things, but are you also very careful? Because you mistakenly had a little zero to something, you have committed a big error. One zero, just add another zero. You will either find yourself in police custody because they probably want to charge you for fraud, or you cost the organization a lot. So it's not just about, I'm chartered, I'm good. When they ask for features, qualities, all these other things that you should know, you should be very detailed. Very, very detailed as well. And these are things that we should also know, because it goes beyond just saying, okay, this is what this person should have. And then, on a lighter note, now that we have discussed CVs and all of that, what should be it and all, let's now imagine that this CV has gotten you the opportunity to be interviewed. How do you prepare for an interview? What will you do? Now, they are very simple, but very... Like most times we mistake it or we take it for granted. Read, be prepared. Even if it's just 12 hours notice you have for that interview. From that moment that you received the message and you know within your heart that you would want to go for that interview, that is the time that you should start dusting your book, going on the internet, cross-checking some things and getting ready seriously. Now, I would advise that before you get into that, you should check what you would wear. So that once that is sorted, you can now go and soak yourself into reading. So when we talk of what to wear, for guys, white shirts, blue shirts, black trousers, they are the best to have. Don't show up in pink shirts, please. No. Don't show up in red shirts. No, I'm not saying they are nice, we all have them. But you know, like I say, let's dress to suit the occasion. Some dressing, you just show up like this. Everybody was like, whoa. No, don't come like that. You know, I decided to start with guys because for guys, it's very simple. Once they have a black shirt, a black trouser, they have a white shirt, blue shirt, light blue, eyes like black and all. That's very okay. And they have good shoes. Like, remember to polish them. I've seen somebody come in a very dusty shoe. And when they offered him a rag, he cleaned it, and one of my colleagues had to say, so batanye fine to buy. Mumoke batanye ma fine. But I want dust in sha. Yes, people will have a way of reminding you stylishly what you should have done. And trust me, interview might be 100%, like over 100 graded. But don't forget, you have about 30% of that point for dressing. So you could save yourself, earn yourself some marks by showing up well. Get about 20, 25 in that. And then you battle the others with your question and answer. But you can imagine you just showing up like, okay, this is me. And it does not look like you even received a message ahead. Please, let's be very neat. In fact, if you know that at the time you got the interview, your hair is not well cut, dash to the barbing salon. It is worth it, trust me. Because you never know who will be sitting in that interview. Sometimes my chairman is in the mood to sit and he's there straight on. But sometimes he doesn't even want to, like, get people to do it and revert. So you can imagine it's the day that the chairman is there. In fact, he doesn't even have patience. My friend, excuse us, call the next person. People like us might even start to say, why did you dress? You know, like, point you. Because I don't like sending people out without telling them what the problem is. But you know, if you meet top management, they don't have time for that. They will just tell you, call the next person, please, excuse us. And that is it. And then for ladies, please, if the time we got the invite for the interview is the week that we have multicolored braids, you know there are wigs, right? Black ones. Let's wear them. And you see, let's not fly our hair when it's time for interview. Brush them well, pack them. Because you will be meeting all sorts of people. It is not everybody that likes bodies in their faces kind of appearance. Please. And then you see, suits, blazers, it does a lot in dressing. I brought my blazers. I'll be my suit or my coat, whatever you might want to call it. And I will just show us how, to an extent, it can change our appearance and dressing generally. To an extent, do I look different? A little. Like, does it really look like I have come for business? You know, the gown is not bad. I'm not saying wearing gown is bad. But you can see what a simple jacket did to it. And then you see for shoes. Don't wear shoes like this for interview. No. Simple shoes like this. I'm not saying compulsorily buy this. No. I'm just saying you will be shocked what this will do to your total appearance when you really dress up. Let me show you. Do I look different now? Do I look like somebody that people would want to interview? Okay, but you can imagine if I've gone for an interview and there's somebody that has dressed the way I was initially, who looks more serious. And you can imagine, what we don't remember sometimes or what we don't think of is, you see people that will interview you, they dress well. On days that we have been informed that you will be sitting on an interview panel, we dress well. Because we don't want you to come and look at us like, "Sha want you interviewing your nonny." So we also have to come in well, get seated in a way that by the time we start attacking you as to your appearances or anything, you would, you know, because of course when you are insulting me, I'll look at you. Either consciously or unconsciously, I'll also look at you. So that is it. Let's just dress up properly. I'm sure we all have suits, we all have jackets, we all have simple gowns, skirts, black, like that. And of course, it's also better you wear black, especially for skirts, for ladies. Because you can imagine showing up in a red skirt and a blue shirt. It's nice. Those are dressings that you do when you've already had the job. Like now I can go to work like this, either on a Wednesday or on a Thursday, is my office. But trust me, I have a jacket in my office because the chairman must not call for me and I show up like this. Because the person you are going to meet is sitting properly. So you do not want to go showing like this is a play place. You look serious. And then because you never can tell the day, maybe you have visitors in your organization and they are introducing this person around. And the moment you hear they are coming, you are running to the toilet because you are not presentable. No, let's not do that. That is why it's good that we dress up well and we show up properly. And then you see there are shoes and there are shoes for women. I have seen different shoes. I have seen this type of shoe for interview. I have one. This is my own. But you can imagine me going for an interview and this is what I'm wearing. And then every lady, we have all these type of shoes. Fine. Everybody wants. This is not for interview at all. Don't let us mix them up. And then you see, the reason why I even brought these shoes, some ladies, when they come, they wear flat shoes on very lovely corporate suits. And then you begin to wonder, you're looking so good, but your shoes. And you say, "I'm not the heel type." No, no. For interviews, for an opportunity to show yourself, you don't do. So this is a very low heel shoe that no matter how uncomfortable you get wearing heels, this is This is like 3 inches, I think. Everybody should be able to carry. So you can get something this nice in this kind of height. Because see, aside from the fact that he has this kind of class to you. When you are working, when you are attending meetings and all. You know, let me give you an example. One day, I got to office and I met somebody. I suspected this person was a visitor because I met the person sitting at the security post where we have a reception there. So I greeted and I went. After about 30 minutes, my chairman called me and said, "We have a visitor. That person is from a bank." And I was going to have to take this person round, introduce him round, show him what we do, discuss some things, and do some other minor familiarities. And then, of course, because I was driving, I stepped down to sign. I had my slippers on. I think it was this gown, very simple, did and went. But by the time I was going to pick him up from my chairman's office, it took about 5 minutes. I was like, "Are you the same person I saw downstairs?" I was like, "Yes, sir." I said, "This is nice. This is nice." Because I'd remember to put on my jacket. Of course, my shoes are dusted and put my heels. And I had brushed my hair very well by then. I was ready for work. And then it felt, our discussion and our everything felt like business as it should be. But you could imagine if that was how I showed up. The way he saw me is actually the way. And because I had, I have a fistos with you, I just quickly look for one of the flat shoes I keep in the office. And then I'm walking like that, like that, like that. It's the same opportunity that we have in an interview to show that we can be taken seriously. That we are serious and that they should take us serious. And then you see another thing I want to say for ladies, our length of gown and skirt and all. I wear short gowns, yes. I wear exactly on the nail, below the nail, above the nail, yes. But you see for interview, you don't want to wear it too short. You want to keep it like 3/4 or a little lower. You know why? Because during the interview, most likely you will not be standing. You will be offered a chair. And you will be sitting across. You will not have a table to hide your legs. You will not be able to cross your legs. You don't want to be busy pulling down your skirts when they are asking you serious questions. Trust me, it happens. I have seen it a lot. In fact, a lady was so uncomfortable, we decided to offer her to stand. Because of course, by the time she's standing, it's not like it's bad when you look at her. But by the time we offered her a seat, she had to sit down. Of course, he jumped up and she was not comfortable. She kept dragging, pulling it down, feeling very uncomfortable. So please, let us just dress right, appear right, and be ready. And you see, going back to reading, that's where I would like to round everything up today. You see, reading is very, very important and very, very necessary. Before I came for this presentation, I went through my slides again and I went through some points that I jotted. And I read up some articles I read again just to be sure that I will not be giving the wrong information, because that is very important. It's the same thing with attending an interview. Trust me, the people you are coming to meet, they have your CV like a day or 2 days before the interview. Now, what some of these people do is they read up some things about your qualification. Don't forget, they are not accountants. They are not admin people. They may not be. Some of them might be. Of course, there will be the professionals of your field seated. But there are a lot of other people that knows nothing about biology. But they have the questions for you and they have the answers with them. Because they have done what you should do. They have read. They will read up. They will look at your qualification. Now, for instance, you say you're a fresh graduate. You've not had any work experiences. So that means you probably left school about 2 years ago or 3 years. And you read physics. They're asking you, what is physics? Very simple. Yes, very simple. But I found out that it's like the moment we leave school, we forget everything. And it is not nice. In fact, sometimes I have to cover my face in shame. Because we have expatriates in my office sometimes. Some of them are on the interview panel. And when some people walk out, they look at you and ask, "Nigeria education." No, it's not about Nigeria education. It is about you. In fact, we have to ask a boy, "You wasted 8 years of your time studying elect, like you could not remember anything." And when I say anything, I mean anything. Even when they decide to leave the question, like school thing, they went down to practicals. They even decided to help him, like, what did you do for your project? He could not even remember. How many of us can remember our project topic again? And you know, for people that studied practical courses like electrical, mechanical, you probably built some things or made some things to work. And then somebody is saying, okay, I developed an inverter using something, and they ask you, what is the working technique of that? Very simple, very, very simple. Something that you built, working principle, for something that you just did about 2 years ago. Somebody, they are asking, what is current? What is voltage? What is the difference between current and voltage? In fact, at that time, even me, I was like, somebody that did not remember current and voltage, what more difference? No, now. If you know the difference, you will know what each of it is. Because just like somebody asking me what is mass communication, I've left school quite some, I mean, not that bad there, but I can still remember. Because it is important. I've sat on interviews, interviewing engineers, technicians, operators, so much that, do you know, I know definitions of these things. In fact, one day, they had to tell the guy to clap for me. Because the expert was so angry, he told him, see this woman, she's not an engineer. She just works there, and she has sat on interviews. I was shocked when she was helping somebody with the answer. So will you let her help you? And I was the one defining current, voltage, differences. No. Let's be so reasonable and smart that we are ready. I work in human resource, but when we have visitors, I take people around the plant. And on most occasions, see, it's not about I'm trying to blow my own trumpet, right? But on most occasions, by the time I'm done with the visitor, they will ask me, do you work in the plant again, or you're an admin person? Because I know some things. I understand some things. I spend time. And the reason why I have to do that is because where I work is a manufacturing company. Now, the chairman, you wouldn't want the chairman to call you and ask you, is there production? And you're like, no. What is going on? And you cannot explain in simple terms what the challenge is. So from day one, day two, day three of working in the organization, I knew that I had to do more than just sitting in the office, but learning and understanding some things as well. So over time, I started understanding use of some machines, what it's for, what it produces. I can explain stages of nail productions to you, and I am not an engineer. I know it by mouth. I cannot even operate, but I can tell you this is what it will do. But you can now imagine if you studied, you read that course, or you claim that you are an operator, you have been doing that in a particular organization and you want us to employ you. And they take you to a machine. You say you've been operating in a machine. Please show us. And you cannot do anything. So please, let us read and read and read. There is this book they used to sell, or then, I don't know if they sit in NYSC camp, that helps you to prepare for easy tests. And I remember I bought one of those then. And I practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced because I was not good in math. And then, the in thing then was, you are looking for a job, you write a test. They used to call it test. Film Bank has called you for test. Zenith has called you for test. This one has called you. And it is all math. So I knew I had to help myself. And you see, as God will have it, the first place I got the opportunity to start practicing my profession was in a bank. And I did not even know I was going to be put in HR. But I wrote that test as if, I want to wash it, and everybody must get a share bank. I mean, nobody get it. I worked the whole of that booklet because I knew my weakness, and I was not going to let it pull me down because a lot of my friends were passing. Before you see, I want to pay me a more pass like that. I failed about two or three, but eventually passed one. But I did not pass by crying around or giving up. I worked those maths. That is the same way that when we get interview messages, when we get called for it, even if they call it a chat, don't assume that you will just walk in and chat. You are going to have to speak intellectually. You are going to have to defend your certificate. You are going to have to show that everything you have written in your CV, you earned them. They are totally yours. You worked for them. And you understood what the working principles of those courses are. So please, let's always, always be ready. And you see, it does not have to mean that it's first, because it's my first job or anything. No. My sister here, she's an HR person too. The last place she worked was, she worked as a manager, human resource manager, in this Ilorin. The job, she wrote a test for a manager. She had a computer-based test for hours in this Ilorin. It was not her first job, it was not her second job, it was not her third job. After the test, she had to go and do presentation, defend her answers and all. And I've told you, I've gone for interview that I had to. In fact, from sitting down like this, we were provided with everything, computer, everything. I had to do, you fix it on projector yourself, you will explain yourself, you will defend it. I did not get the job, but I did not do bad. I left feeling like, yes. I've always had about interviews like that. I have experienced this. I didn't know that was what it was going to be. I've experienced it and I did not disappoint myself. But that's because to an extent, I have an idea of how to use these things. Because I have to first of all put those details on Excel, move it to Microsoft Word, and then we now said put it on PowerPoint and come and present. So please, let's get ready for whatever it is that we are looking for. Job is important, yes, but the processes of getting the job, it's tedious, but it's something that you can prepare for. Also, our documents. How many of us have copies of our documents, photocopies, like ready? If I say, give me your CV now. So let's imagine that this is not here. You are saying, nah, don't give me your CV. You will go home, bring it with photocopies of your credentials attached to it, ready. How many of us have it? You see, just a very few. We should always have photocopies, at least 5 of all our credentials, 5 copies, and our CVs ready, ready. Now, because people come for interviews, and they do not even have any copy of their CVs, and we are saying, where is your CV? And they say, I already submitted, that's why you called me. Yes, we know. But maybe, unfortunately, we gave it to one of the guys that we think will be there. At the time of the interview, is not available. We need to continue with this interview and we need your CV, Oga. So you can imagine, some people will come with all their originals and start begging you, please help me, I want to make photocopies in case you are needing it. You should have gotten that ready. And you see, the reason why we say you should have it ready is because it's possible that you will receive a text message around 3 p.m. on a Sunday to come for an interview on Monday. Where will you make photocopies? Where? And you see, another thing, passports. How many of us have our recent passports? We have at least 2-4 copies. It's very good as well. Because sometimes you might just need to drop 1 or 2. And always, always, always carry it along. Always carry it along. It might sound very trivial, very simple, but these are things that have barred some people from even having the interview done. Like that guy that we didn't have a copy, because it was with somebody that wasn't available any longer. And at that point, we could not interview him because he didn't come with any copy. And then in as much as you are moving with your photocopy, move with the original copies as well. There's something called citing. Oh, you have given them the original, but they want to see that you have them. So they just want to look at it. Always go with them. Pack them neatly. Okay? So, for this session, this is where I'll be stopping. I hope that we have learned.
Wow, I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate it.